Well, today we begin a new series, and as we begin a new year, and I was thinking of how that we begin the new year. We always set these goals, don't we? New Year's resolutions. How many people have already broken your resolution? Let's be honest. How many people didn't even, we don't even bother anymore, right? Okay. Let's just be honest. But here's the thing, we do these things because we want to have this improvement in our life, and we want to do things in our life and accomplish stuff. And I think that that's amazing, because I think it's a really a God-given kind of just deep-seated passion that he gives all humankind. Because he's a God that loves to accomplish things and create things and do things, and he does this through a lot of times partnering with us. And so today I want to kind of encourage you by reading you some encouraging, inspirational lyrics. As some of you may recognize this song. This song is about friendship. This song is about people who partner together to accomplish stuff. Listen to these words. Give us any chance, we'll take it. Read us any rule, we'll break it. We're going to make our dreams come true, doing it our way. Nothing's going to turn us back now, straight ahead and on track now. We're going to make our dreams come true, doing it our way. There is nothing we won't try. Never heard the word impossible. This time, there's no stopping us. We're going to do it. On your mark, get set and go now. Got a dream, and we just know now. We're going to make that dream come true, and we're going to do it our way. Now, some of you are like, I know that song. Some of us are like, what song is that? Let me read the first lines. It might help you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Shemizel, Shemizel, Heffenfopper, Incorporated. We're going to do it. Except you have to kind of do it more lyrical, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. If I had somebody else up here, we could skip along, right? So if you don't know, this is the theme song from Laverne and Shirley. Yes, yeah, so like all, yeah, everyone under 30, you're like, oh, I still remember that. Google it up, look it on YouTube, it's on there. And I when I was beginning this series about one another and how that God wants us to do things with each other and with him, this buddy, this partnership. And I remember growing up watching that show. And if you don't know the show, and if you do remember it, it's about these two ladies that just, they just do all kinds of just crazy things. And no matter what happens in life, the hard times, the good times, they were together. They were with one another. And I want you to have that picture in your mind as we begin this series. I want you to have that image in your mind, that partnership of being one another, together, thick or thin. We're going to do it. And we do this because God has created us to go on this journey, this adventure that we call life. And we do it not alone. We do it with one another. And we do that in part because God himself is all about relationship. It's the very first thing I want us to see in this series, that God is all about relationship. He himself is a triune God. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He desires relationship. He loves relationships. One of the things that amazed me that when I recently was going through the Gospels last year and we were studying that is just how many times that Jesus, when he's here on earth, he loves to get people together and he loves to eat. I mean, think about it. Where does he usually do a lot of his ministering? In crowds and at dinners. He does miracles at weddings. He feeds the thousands. He gives them this buffet that's like an amazing thing by the seashore. He dies and is resurrected, and he introduces himself back to his disciples. And how does he do it? He's having a little cookout. And they come back from fishing, and he invites them to sit down and have some bread and fish. And then he says, when I come back, one of the very last things he does with them is he has a meal with them before he goes to the cross. And he says, when I come back, we're going to have this feast. Now, I can imagine, when Jesus throws a barbecue, that's going to be awesome, right? Like, you could eat and, like, not gain weight. Not get indigestion. No Prilosec needed. He is like, I love just being with you guys, because God is all about relationship. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he says, it says that God was walking in the garden. I love that. This is chapter 3. This is right after chapters 1 and 2, where he just created like an entire universe that we as human beings are just now trying to explore and discover. It would take multiple lifetimes for us to even start to make a dent in understanding and seeing all that God has created. And of all those places, he decides to come down where Adam and Eve, man and woman, are in the garden, and he's taking a walk. And he's looking for them. And it says that he called to them. Man, I love this imagery that we read in Genesis. And I want us to again, picture this in our own world, in our own terms of when you see somebody that you haven't seen for a while. Or maybe when you're a kid coming home and you announce that you're home to mom and dad. Or maybe as a dad or a mom, as you come home from work and you announce to your kids, I'm home. And you hear that scurry because whatever they're doing, not supposed to be doing, you know? Which is kind of the case that God ran into. But that desire for relationship, it just, to me, is like one of those things that he is just all about loving us and being with us. He loved us so much that in Genesis chapter 1, he desired a relationship with us, and he created us. We weren't here at the beginning. He makes the stars and galaxies and all these universes. And then he's like, let us make man. Let us make these little bags of flesh and water that's going to disobey us. It's kind of like parenthood, right? We want to reproduce ourselves. We want to duplicate ourselves. And we want to do it because we want to be in relationship with them. God starts off from the very beginning saying, look, I want to have a relationship with mankind. Let us make man. In chapter 2, he looked at man and he said, it's not good for him to be alone. And I think part of that was behind the scenes. It was that he knew what it was like to be connected. Because he was already Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was already triune. He was already in relationship with himself, and he knew. He made man in his image, and like himself, he did not want to be alone, so it was not good for man to be alone, and he made woman. He made somebody for man to be in relationship with. And the culmination of this whole thing, this whole plan, is in Revelation 21 when he says, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them forever. That's a long time. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. And it's my belief that if we read Revelation, we see what God's intent was. God's plan is from all along is he wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to dwell with us. And he does that and he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And we'll be together forever. God is all about us. connecting with each other and connecting with him. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, over 55 times, there are these statements about doing things one with another, one to another, one another. You guys got to do these things. You're not alone. Time and time again, we read about how he describes that we as the church are the body of Christ and we are all interconnected. Nobody can be out by themselves. If you are a doctor in here, and you would know, Chris, if you take parts of the body and you remove it from the rest of the body, what happens to that part? It dies. And that's what God knew. He said, I want you as a body to be together, one another. Every part needs the other part. Together we do this. And there's a reason why. And I think that reason is, the first reason is this, is that God is love. He's motivated by love. Why did he want relationship with us? Did he just want somebody that he could rule over? That would worship him? That he would puppet and make do what he wanted to do? No, he did it because he loved us and loves being with us and loves us being with him. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. Period. That's the defining definition of who God is. And if God is that way, then our relationship should be reflective of that as well. Now, if you're anything like me, I don't always, most of the time, okay, really, not really. But I try to live that way. But it's hard, isn't it? Do we always do things in love? Do we always do things that's best for the other person? God, though, wants us to continue to develop ourselves to be that way. Here's a couple of references, John 13, 34 and 35, Romans 13, 8, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, 1 John 3, verses 11 and 23, 1 John 4, verses 7, 11, 12, and 2 John 1, 5. You got all those down? Are all the times that we read in the New Testament that God says, love one another. When Jesus is sitting down with his disciples, he says this. This is how that they will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Guys, this is one of the things that I am so, so blessed to be here at New Hope, because if there is one trait that I have seen among this body, is that you love one another. You love each other in prayer. You love each other in action. You love one another. By that, we know that we are disciples of God. He has made us to be like that. It's not us. Our nature, our original sin nature, had room for the love of only one. Me. We loved ourselves, didn't we? Just watch a toddler. Just watch a newborn. I'm reminded that young people have children because they're young and can handle that. My brother, who has just recently turned 40, he just had his third, and he was just sharing that. Their son Joel is 2 months old. He called me the other day. He goes, "This was a lot easier 6 years ago." Because baby Joel is nice and sweet. Oh, he's just an angel. He just looks like it. But Joel is about one person right now. Joel. At 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. Mom, you've slept. You haven't slept. You haven't eaten. You haven't bathed. The other two kids need something. doesn't matter. Right now, I need you. And that's the most important thing. Now, if we continued to live like that, that would be really sad, wouldn't it? But I will tell you right now, there are a lot of grown-up adults that whatever is their world is what everyone should be paying attention to. But God has not called us to that. He called us to love. He called us who are in Christ to be love. And this is love that before I loved him, he loved me. Before I even acknowledged my own sin and my own shortcomings, he died on a cross for me. In other words, he put me ahead of himself. That is love. Boy, if we could just all do that, wouldn't that be amazing? You guys work on that, okay? I'll try to. But gosh, it's hard. But that's exactly why he gives us some other things to talk about. In Ephesians 4:2, he says this. He says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. You see, love inspires patience. Why does God want us to be about love? Because love has some very good qualities. The first of which is this. Love inspires patience. And we need patience, don't we? What? With some of you. We want to do that, right? Some of you. It's always them, right? Boy, you need patience for them. Somebody's like, have you ever looked at yourself? Boy, patience is so important. Tiffany, if you go to the next slide, please. Love also inspires us for service. It inspires us to do for others. See, that's one of the hardest things sometimes. It's hard for us to imagine to do for others, and especially when there's nothing necessarily that you get back. Galatians 5:13 tells us, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. And what does that look like? I'm going to tell you right now, I saw a picture of this yesterday. There was a get-together at my mom's house in Henderson, and a group of girls came to celebrate Jalen's birthday, and my sister-in-law was there, and the Jenkins girls were there, and Bill Jenkins came to pick his girls up, and he walked in, and he says, somebody's got a flat tire out there. Now, if that was me, that's about as far as my service went. I've notified you. It's now on you. Bill says, if you will tell me whose car it is and give me their keys, we'll change the tire. Which then motivated me, because I'm standing right there. I said, well, since I'm preaching on this tomorrow, that love inspires service. Bill and I went out and the warm weather that it was yesterday and changed that tire. It's not his tire. It's not his wife's, not his girl's. It was somebody totally unrelated to him. He saw a need and he said, in Christ, I'm going to do this because I am a child of God and God's love inspires me to service. And his service inspired me. That is what God's love is about. And the next thing is that it grows over time. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says this. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. May it just overflow. This is a resource that doesn't run out. You know, in this day and age, we talk about recycle this, reuse that, and renewable resources, and we need to get away from fossil fuels and do these things, because all those things are limited. There's one thing that is unlimited, and that is love. And love makes the world go round, right? If we really, truly operated in love, then yes, it would. And it is a resource that does not end. God's love is unfathomable. It is more than you can even dream. Paul writes, it's wider than I can imagine. It's deeper than I can imagine. There is no place I can go that it's not already there. And all of that he wants to channel down into us. Now, I'm not much of a scientist, but here's what I do know about science is that if you take something that has a large volume and you put it into something that's a small volume, it creates a thing called pressure. And if you create pressure, it's supposed to go out. It shouldn't be able to be held in. Some of you guys are all tensed up and puckered up because God's love is being poured into you and you're just hanging on to it. And on your face, I don't see love. I see spiritual constipation. God's like, just let it go. Because I got more. But we're like the little kid who got that bag of candy. When you get your bag of candy, like you've got a little bag of M&M. Now they make them in quote-unquote shareable sizes now, right? Yeah, let's get honest. That's snack size. 3-pound bag, that's shareable. This little 12-ouncer, come on. But theoretically, they're shareable. And maybe you do. When you've got the whole bag, you've just opened up that bag of M&Ms, and somebody says, oh, can I have one? And you look at them, right? It's that pause. Because you know if you give them one, how many are they going to want? One more. And so, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you give them the one. But get down to that last one or two. Oh, can I have one? This is my last one. Now, I know what some of you are going to do. Like, well, remember what the pastor said about God is love, and he loves to share. It's all about service. Don't do that. God says, look, I'm giving you this bag of M&Ms. It's limitless. Share as much as you want. I've got more. You will never run out. May the Lord make your love increase. The source is what's important. If you try to love out of yourself, you will run dry. And it'll be a shallow, stagnant love. Because most of the time we love only with the sense that, like, the old adage, if I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Oh, well, if I do that, does that mean that you're going to do this? That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about a love that says, no matter if I give and you don't give it back, it's okay. If I do and you don't, it's okay. Because it's all about love. It inspires love. Patience with each other, it inspires service, and it grows over time. Now, there are lots of ways that we can measure our spiritual maturity and our growth. And there's some valuable things, and over the course of this year, we'll talk about some of those things. Now, we like to default to things like how many Bible verses you may know, or how many hymns do you know, or how many times I've been to a Chris Tomlin concert. I don't know. Whatever criteria you may set up, but I'm going to tell you right now, there is no greater criteria in God's world. If we are in relationship with one another, and that relationship is founded, bathed, and exudes love. If you're single, if you're married, if you're a student, if you're retired, it doesn't fit any of those categories. It doesn't matter. It doesn't get limited by any situation in life. It is a constant from cradle to grave. God loves, and we should too. That is being one another. That is saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, shemizel, shemizel, hop and pepper incorporated. It doesn't matter what comes our way. We are going to do it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you are love and that you loved us. And God, you shared that love with us through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. God, I just ask that you would just pour that love into us. And God, may we be free to share that with one another. May we not try to grasp it ourselves and hold on to it as though it's something that is limited. It's a one-time offer. God, instead, let us realize that we are this fire hydrant, this hose of just love, that we should just be spreading it everywhere. God, just let our love, or let your love come through us, and may it be your love. May it not be ours, because it's only you who gives it increase and gives it authenticity. God, we just are thankful for it. And I'm just thankful, God, that this group here, they practice this. They are so filled with love. But God, even here, I know we can take it to another level. I know, God, that we can let love flow even more, that we can show love to our community and into our tri-state area. And God, let us be a place that people may not know what's going on, but they know that people are loved when they come to New Hope. God, I pray that for the churches across this area. May we be known as a people of love, because we are a people of God, and you are love. It's in your name we pray. Amen.